Well, welcome back. We're here for the sermon. Thank you to our worship team. We appreciate you so much. Today, I am going to be continuing my systematic look at 1 John, and we are on part 3, and I'm going to announce to you now that there will be a part 4, and that will be the end of the series. So this would be one of those sermons I really would like to deliver in person. I'm actually very excited to give this sermon. And it would be one that I would really enjoy sharing with you. But we're going to make the best of this situation, and I'll share this with you through this video. So if you'll recall, I said that there were 4 major themes in John: sin, love, discernment, and assurance. And today we are going to focus on discernment. One of the reasons why I'm excited to give this sermon is it's the type of sermon that's so practical. We make decisions about things all the time. So many decisions. And many times we make decisions about things that we hear, especially things we hear about God and that would relate to spiritual things within us. We also make decisions about people. And these decisions have a really big impact on our life and where we go with our life and what develops in our life. And so today we're going to talk about discernment, and I think it could be very helpful for all of us to take some time and think about discernment, and hopefully we can have discernment in our lives and we can live in such a way that we exercise discernment. So let's start with this. Let's start with prayer. So just pause here with me and please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we can go over 1 John and we can talk about discernment today. And I pray that you would really bless this message and that it would be powerful and helpful for each and every person that's watching, Lord. And I pray that this could really make a difference in our lives. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So discernment is, give you a definition for that. Here's first one that I have. It is distinguishing good from bad, truth from error, and right from wrong. Now look at how I've worded this. And these are definitions I've brought together from various sources, but this is how I'd say I would define discernment. I might have put before this, it's the ability to do this, but it's more than the ability to do this. It's actually the action of doing it. So it's both the ability and action. So that's why I just start with this. Distinguishing good from bad. So you're able to look at something and you'll be able to tell whether it's good or bad. It's a good direction or a bad direction. It's a good thought or a bad thought. Related to that is truth from error. Is that truth? Is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with the Word of God, or is it in error? Now, we can have discernment in other things besides spiritual things, but our focus primarily here is on spiritual discernment. But you would see it in a temporal sense. When you look at something like, think about buying a used car. You know, sometimes you have to have discernment on, okay, would that be a good car or a bad car? Is what the salesman saying, is that truth or is he presenting error? Now that's about something like buying a car, but we're talking primarily and more importantly about spiritual things and spiritual claims and spiritual influences and the direction of life. But I think you can really see that in a car. You know, getting back to the definition, is it right and wrong? Can I distinguish right from wrong? So that's the first definition I have. Now here's the second one. It's making judgments and decisions that are pleasing to God. Judgments and decisions that are pleasing to God. See, a lot of people think that as Christians, we're not supposed to judge, but the truth is we are supposed to make all kinds of judgments all the time. What we're not supposed to do is to condemn people with our judgments or judge in a hypocritical way, where we find people guilty of things that we're doing and then we write them off. And we say that they can never be forgiven or that God doesn't love them or something like that. But we are called again and again in Scripture to make judgments about people and teachings and directions for our lives. And you see, that's why this is so important. And what John was writing here was so important because John was writing to defend the church against bad teaching and bad direction and bad influence and deception. And God does that for us in the Word, and we need to do that for each other. But we need to learn to do that for ourselves. And so that's what discernment is, and that's what he wanted these people to grow in and to have, is the ability to look at people and make a judgment about them. Look at their teaching and make a judgment, and then make a decision about it and take a direction that is honoring to God and pleasing to God. And so that's the second way that I defined discernment. So let's look at some examples of discernment. These would be more the questions that need discernment applied to them. So these are situations you need discernment. So for example, does this person really speak for Christ? You see, a lot of people out there claim to speak for Christ, but discernment answers that question and says, I can look at what they say, I can listen to them, and then I can make the judgment as to whether or not they really speak for Christ. Another one would be, is that pastor teaching the truth? So that would be very much related. A pastor says to speak for Christ, but they open up the Word. They hopefully open up the Word. If they don't, you know, that's something that you can discern. How much is it? Are they using the Bible? How much are they just teaching their own thoughts and their own psychology and what they think is important and what's popular and what's received by the world? Or are they really teaching the Word of God and really speaking the truth? So you can ask that, is this pastor teaching the truth? Should I follow their advice? Now, I'm not just speaking of the pastor or the person that claims to speak for Christ, but it's anyone that gives you advice about anything in your life. You ought to do that. You ought to go to this school, or you ought to go to that school, or you ought to take this job, or you ought to take that job, or you ought to date this person or that person, you know, any of these kind of things. You need to ask yourself, should I follow this person's advice and have discernment about not only the person, but the advice that they're giving you? Should I follow that advice? Should I associate with these people? Now, I'm not saying that you're not kind to people, that you don't love other people, but there are some people that when you associate with them and you spend time with them, and this is what I'm speaking of here as far as associate, it's really spend time with them, do the things that they do, have their influence in your life. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, you know, are these the type of people that I should regularly be associating with? And discernment answers that question. The answer may be yes. They may be really great people for you to associate with, or they may not be. And discernment gives us the answer to that. Another one would be, should I pursue this relationship? So I go beyond just being with a group of people, but being in a relationship with another person. Discernment helps us to make that decision. Okay, is this really the person that I should be pursuing? Is this really a person for me? Is this really the person that God wants me to be in a relationship with? And discernment lets us make those judgments. You see, in that kind of a situation, you're not going to marry everybody. You're not going to date everybody. You're not going to be romantically involved with everybody. There's going to hopefully be that one person that God gives you. And through things like death and other circumstances, sometimes it's not that, but that's God's plan. So right now for you, there should be one person or no person, just God. So, but if it is a relationship that you're looking at and pursuing, is it, should you be pursuing that relationship? Is that what God really wants from you? Is that really the right person? Is that the person that you should even consider? You know, do they love Jesus? Do they follow Jesus? All these things that we'll talk about today really apply to that particular situation. So that's an example of a place where, you know, you need discernment. Is that person really a brother in Christ? So a person could say, I'm a Christian, but discernment, you know, helps you to distinguish that and make a judgment about that. Now, you don't have to make a judgment in the case where you say, hey, you're not a Christian. No, it's more along the lines of, I need to, again, evaluate whether or not this person is trustworthy and is a good influence, and the things that they're saying and the direction that they're giving me, is it good? And should I follow that? Should I go along with that? That is where we need discernment. And then finally here, as my example, is this what I should do with my life? Is this where I should take my energy and my resources, and I should put them to work, and I should pursue something and go after something. This could be like a career or a business. This could be even, you know, the hobbies and interests and things that we have. But it definitely, if we're talking about things that become idols in our life and things that use a huge amount of our time, you know, should I be pursuing those things with my life? Like, we might not even really realize that we are actually really pursuing something very aggressively. And it's good to ask this question. And discernment helps us to answer and make a judgment about it. So discernment is a really, really, really good thing. So today we're going to be looking at passages in 1 John that have to do with discernment. So our main passage is going to be 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We're going to go through that passage and talk about those verses. And then we're going to follow up with a lot of other verses from 1 John that I think related to discernment and why I'm saying this is one of the main themes of the book of 1 John. So let's begin in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, this is a verse when we went through this originally. I shared that a lot of times we kind of think about this in a real mystical way, but I don't really think it is. Like, when I say mystical, like sometimes people will say something like, God said this, and they'll tell somebody that, and people think of this, that we are here, in this case, testing the spirit, that we have some kind of test to see whether something that is spiritual is true or not. And we do, but it's kind of a plain test. It's not something like we get a feeling or God just shows us. But here we see this when he's talking about testing the spirits and that there being, you know, good spirits and bad spirits, true, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. He's talking about people here. He's talking about the fact that there are false prophets. So those are people. A false prophet would be somebody that claims to speak for God. See, that's where this comes from. Claims, false prophet says, I've got a message from God. This is what God says. And they want to teach a message from God, or they want to teach and proclaim what God says. And the thing here is there are many false prophets. So John didn't want people to believe false prophets. God doesn't want us to believe false prophets. I don't want you to believe false prophets. And so here in the book of 1 John, this is why I'm excited about this today, is that he's saying, you know, hey, don't believe everyone. Don't believe everyone that claims to speak for God. There are many people claiming to speak for God that are false. They're false prophets. Rather, you need to test. You need to have a way to distinguish whether or not what that person is saying, and then even if that person is true. And so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about discernment. So you imagine somebody comes and begins to teach, and maybe they could even be quite gifted, we would think. We would look at them and think that they're gifted, but they could just be really talented and entertaining and expressive, and they might tell great stories and jokes and just be very interested, like the type of person you say, I love listening to that person, because I go and I listen to that person and I just lose track of time because they've just captured my interest so much. Now, that could be the case if that person is a very talented speaker, but the things that they are saying may be an error. And so you need to find you need to have a way of testing and distinguishing whether that person is speaking the truth or speaking error. And so that's exactly what John is talking about here. He says, you got to test the spirits to see whether they are from God or they're from a false prophet. Somebody who is just maybe interesting to listen to, or very eloquent in their speaking. Now, he gives the test here. And I would say that the test here, we can really take a real general test. There's kind of a specific one that's related to these false prophets he's dealing with then. But he says, by this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So let me share my understanding of this. So he says, you know, here's the test. Here's a basic test. Let me give you a basic test that you can use to see whether these people who are claiming to be spokesmen for God are really spokesmen for God. He says, do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Now, there's a reason why he says that in particular. And there's a reason why he said in the first John, in the beginning of 1 John, in chapter 1, he says that he was an eyewitness, that he heard Jesus, that he touched Jesus, that he saw him with his own eyes. Because in this time, these false prophets were beginning to teach that, no, Jesus didn't really have the same kind of body that we had. He really isn't a man. He really didn't die the way that we would die. When in fact he did, and they were denying something that was really truthful and essential about Jesus. And by this, he's saying, here's a test. Here's a test for them. If they don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they're not from God. So he is just outright saying that if these people deny Jesus' humanity, then they're denying Jesus. They're denying the truth. They're teaching a different gospel. And we have that here. And then in a more general way, he says, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So more general way, if you deny any truth about Jesus, so here we're talking about denying his humanity, but I think if you deny his deity, if you deny that Jesus is God, you are not teaching the truth. You are teaching error. And so I would believe anyone that would say, hey, Jesus is not God, then that person is teaching error because they are denying Jesus. They can't please the Father by denying the Son. And that may just be a big difference that we will always have with some people. But this is something that is clearly proclaimed in Scripture. And Jesus is clearly worshiped as God and called God in Scripture. And so if you deny Jesus' deity, you're denying him the same way here where they're denying his humanity. So you are not speaking for God. You are a false prophet. He says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So the Antichrist, we know that the Antichrist is coming, but there are many Antichrists that have come. So people are in that spirit. They're against Jesus, against Christ, or even putting themselves in the place of Christ. And so when someone denies Jesus, they're not pleasing the Father, they're Antichrist, they're following the spirit of the Antichrist. And he says here that that spirit is already at work in the world. That was back when he wrote this letter, and it's true now today. And so when we think about discernment, going back to discernment, you know, we need to be able to look at what a person says about Jesus and discern whether or not they're really speaking the truth. And one way that you can really discern whether or not somebody's true or not is by what they teach and they believe about Jesus. And if somebody denies Jesus, they deny his deity, or they deny his humanity, or they deny his sinlessness, or they deny his death and resurrection, if they deny the virgin birth, if they deny that he is the creator of all things and all things were created through him and for him and by him, then they denied truth about Jesus, and that person is not somebody that you should listen to. So that's the kind of discernment that you need to have. Now, he says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I think this is another really important verse about discernment. And I think he's talking about the fact that the people are overcomers. They've overcome the world, and they've overcome sin, and they overcome these false teachers and what they say. But he says this, and I think this is a really good verse for discernment. He says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Sometimes we've memorized that in a little different order. As greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And that's something that we need when we think about discernment. What comes to mind for me in this one is really discerning circumstances. And oftentimes it could be circumstances that cause you to fear. I think the present circumstances we live in are very applicable to this. And we can clearly see that sometimes they make either us afraid or other people afraid. But here's a reminder: is greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so whatever the devil could do to you through these circumstances or things, we have to know that if we're in Christ, if we believe in Jesus, if we've received him and been born again, that he and his spirit are living in us. God is living in us, and greater is he who's in us than he who is in the world. So we don't have to be afraid of our circumstances. So we discern, we make discernment about that. So we look at them. So sometimes you have to discern about a circumstance. You have to say, you know, how should I think about that? How does God want me to think about that? Should I be afraid about that? Should I be worried about that? And the Bible gives us the answer to all those things. No, you shouldn't be afraid. No, you shouldn't worry. Yes, you should trust God. Yes, you should know that he is greater than anything, any opposition or any circumstance that you're going through. Now he continues and he says, they are from the world. What's from the world? The people who speak against Jesus, they're from the world. They're worldly. It says, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. The world likes them. They like what they say. What they say sounds very good to them because they're from the world. It says the world listens to them. He says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. And when I look at those verses, somebody could say those exact words and not be from God. But the truth is, John is from God. He's talking about people that are from God, that are consistent with the word. You got to think of this. John is the last remaining apostle that God has used him even here to write scripture. And I think about scripture when I think about this. And I think about whoever listens to scripture, you know they're from God. Whoever doesn't listen to scripture, they're not from God. You know, and in as much as I teach scripture, if I teach it right and I proclaim scripture correctly, if somebody listens to what I'm saying because it's scripture and they listen to me, then I know they're from God. But if they reject scripture, not because of me or my, you know, that I've got it wrong or something, but as much as I've got it right, if I delivered scripture to you accurately and you reject it, you're rejecting it because you're not from God. God teaches us to listen to scripture, and people who are in Christ listen to scripture and follow scripture, and doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean they get it all right all at once, but that's going to be the trajectory of the life of someone who knows Jesus. So that's a way that you can discern. So when you think about whether or not you yourself or someone else is listening to God, is following God, you see it because you listen to scripture. You can't listen to God and follow God without listening to and following scripture. And here he says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So people are either operating in the spirit of truth, which would be the Holy Spirit, which would be following the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, or following the spirit of error, which would be Satan. And we have the spirit of the Antichrist, that's the spirit that he empowers. And so when we are making decisions about people, we are able to look at them and we are able to distinguish. And you see how John did this without a problem, that he could actually look at those people and he could make a decision about them. Now this wasn't, again, it wasn't to condemn them. It wasn't a hypocritical decision. He would hold himself to the same standard, and he would hold anyone else to this standard, and I would be held by this standard. But when you look at people and what they teach and what they believe in and what their actions are, you can see whether or not they're following the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And you don't want to listen to someone who's following the spirit of error. Sometimes it can be something that you learn over time, that you've done this, that you've got caught up into following a personality or some kind of a talent or some kind of an entertainer or something, or maybe it's some kind of psychology that makes you feel good and maybe thinks that you're going to get what you want, but when you don't really realize that you're actually following error and you need to discern, nope, I need to walk away from that and I need to follow the truth. So John is making discernments about people. Now, there are other passages in John that are just clearly, so clearly about discernment. And so each one of these slides, I'm going to mention a passage of a verse or two or three here. And they're in order, but they're skipping lots of things in between. So they're just really the verses that I think really speak out strongly about discernment. So let's start with 1 John 2, 9 through 11. These verses say, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I would say that we could look at those verses and we can say that these verses are encouraging us not to hate our brother, and they're encouraging us to love our brothers. And they're part of a collection of verses, which I went over, that said, hey, loving your brother is not optional for a Christian. That's commanded by Jesus. And that's what we will do as believers. But I want to make the point, and I think that these verses actually do that, make the point, that he's saying that there are things about people that are indications as to whether or not they are really in Christ or not. Now, this goes back to the idea I gave in the beginning, which he mentions later in 4, but it's kind of throughout this book and is a big theme, and I think it's the purpose for why he wrote the book, that there were people that claimed to speak for God. There were people that claimed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. There were people that claimed to be in the light. And they were doing this, and while they were doing this, they were sowing seeds of discord and hating brothers and sisters in Christ. And here, John is saying, now you can tell whether somebody's truly in Christ or not. Somebody who is truly in Christ would not do that, does not do that. They will love their brothers and sisters in Christ. They will not hate their brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, if a person hates their brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not in the light. They're in darkness. And so this is a passage of discernment, you know, looking at someone, and really, I really think so strongly in the book of 1 John, it's someone that claims to speak for God. So it's not just necessarily even anyone, you know, but someone that comes and says, hey, I'll be your mentor. I'll be your teacher. I will show you the way. And he says, you know, look at them. Do they love the brothers? Or do they hate them? And if they hate them, you can say, hey, they're in darkness. They're not somebody that I should follow or listen to. So that's discernment. That's what we're talking about, discernment. Now, 2:19 says, this is a really important verse in 1 John, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So this is speaking of that group of people that came back to deceive, but he says, you know, they left and they appeared to be part of us, but they left to make it plain that they really were not part of us and they never were part of us. And he's speaking of some particular people at a particular time, but I think this verse teaches us a lot and gives us some discernment. So he was making discernment about those people who, again, they appeared to be believers, but he's saying that they were not. They were not ever really part of us. They were not ever really part of the church. And, you know, people come and go all the time. Sometimes people leave a church just because they have another need, or there's another reason for them. There's a reason for them to leave, and it's an appropriate reason, and they're believers, and they end up at another church, and that's just the way it is. Everyone is not going to be here. You know, we'd have many more people here. It wouldn't be the same if everyone came here, right? So this church is for some people. There's another church for other people, so on. We're all part of the church. But see, there are some people that leave and will not really become part of the church because they're not believers. And there are, if a person really just leaves the faith in general, they say, hey, I tried that, but I'm not that anymore. I'm not a Christian. Well, it's not because they lost their salvation. It's because they were never really Christians. They were never born again. They were never really part of the church. And so this gives us a certain kind of discernment there when we look at it. You know, we can discern, you know, what's going on. Now, we don't necessarily have to totally make that discernment about somebody, but when somebody walks away from Christ, I'll say one thing I can discern 100% is that they didn't lose their salvation. God didn't come and give them new life and make a new creation of them and then undo that. That just doesn't make any sense at all, even if they choose to walk away from God. I mean, no, it is the fact that they were never really part of the body of Christ. They were really never part of the church. And so we have that. And he says he makes this discernment about people. He does not hesitate to make this discernment. Now, sometimes I think we would probably hesitate a lot more to say for sure. But I can actually say sometimes with confidence, hey, I don't really know that that person is born again. It's very much a possibility that the reason why that they're leaving is because they're not really born again. They don't really get what this is all about. You know, what are we really gathering for? What are we really meeting for each week? What are we doing all these things we do? What is it really all about? You know, who is it that we really serve? What does it really mean to love Jesus? And so sometimes the decisions people make perfect sense because they're really not part of the church. So just skipping a couple verses here in 22 through 23, he says, first he removes his gloves. You know what I mean by removing the gloves? It's like, okay, what he's saying, we would consider that like removing the gloves and hitting with the bare knuckles here. This is to the point, and this is sounding like harsh if you or I were to say this, but he says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, these are awesome verses, but again, it's about discernment. He says, I want to discern for you whether what that person is saying is true or not. And you know what? I'm going to say that what they're saying is not true and that they are a liar. So he says, they're a liar. How do I know they're a liar? Because they deny Jesus. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. He's the promised one. You remember just a couple weeks ago, I talked about this. He is God. He is the one that this is all about, and it's all for him. It was a big thing, you know, a big emphasis I had a couple weeks ago was, you know, what does it mean to confess that Jesus is the Christ? What does it mean to confess that he is the Son of God? So I think it's confessing that he is God, and that he is the promised one, and that he's the only redeemer that we can ever have, and that this is all for him, being the Son. And being the Son means he's of the same stuff as God, so it means he's God. And Christ means that too, when you go back to Isaiah. So if somebody denies Jesus, this is the Antichrist, and you can't deny Jesus and still have the Father and please the Father. It says it right here. It says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So again, this is discernment. Somebody who's denying Jesus, you need to be able to make that call. You know, is this person, what they're teaching, what they believe in, what they're proclaiming, does it confess Christ? And I've said a lot about that already, but this is another verse that very strongly says that. Now, skipping another couple verses, 26 and 27, he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So all these things that he's mentioned here in chapter 2, these people leaving, these people denying Jesus as the Christ, they are trying to deceive you. They are purposely setting out to deceive you, to teach you something different than what the Word of God actually teaches and what God actually would have you believe, and then what is true. They want you to believe something different. So he, again, he discerns that. He's able to discern that these people are out to deceive. He says, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you. This is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. The Holy Spirit abides in you, stays in you, lives in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So what he's saying here is that these people are trying to deceive you. And one of the things that they're saying is, hey, that you need a teacher. I'll be your teacher. I'll be your mentor. I'll come alongside you. I'll show you how what you need to know spiritually, how to get to the next life, you know, these kind of things that they would say. And he says, you know what? You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You don't need any other mentor or teacher. Now, don't hear me wrong. There are teachers in the church. We need to know that. Other places in Scripture, it tells us that God gives us teachers. But all those teachers are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's really the Holy Spirit that's teaching, and the Holy Spirit living in you is your main teacher. So you don't need another like person that is like the teacher in your life. You have the teacher in your life if you're born again. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and then he teaches you how to like listen to something somebody's saying and discern whether it's really right or wrong, whether it's really from God or not. You know, like, you think about it, and I think this has happened a lot in the history of the church. People in the church might say, no, I'll show you if that's what God wants you to believe. I'll tell you how to interpret this. I'll tell you how to understand this. I'll tell you what this means in your life. When really the way it works as a Christian is that God's Holy Spirit is living in you. You read the Bible and you study it, and He helps you learn how to understand it. It doesn't mean that you understand it, but that's the way that it works. Now, you're going to grow. You're going to have teachers. You're going to have that. But ultimately, the person that needs to interpret Scripture and apply it in your life is yourself. And the buck stops with you, not with your pastor or not with some mentor of yours or something like that. You need to learn to read and study and apply Scripture in your life and to do it accurately. So he is defending against these people that are saying, hey, we're the teacher. We're the teacher. No, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So we need to discern that. Now, verse 3:10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God. Now, this is just so plainly stated. Okay, he says this is going to be obvious who is really a child of God and who is not. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So he says, okay, you want to talk about whether a person is really a child of God or not. See, because there are only two possibilities. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're either following God or you're following the devil. I don't think that the Bible teaches any other option there. There are people that are not yet children of God, and God's at work in them, and He's moving them in the right direction. And they may be really, also, there are other people that are really kind, but the fact is that we become children of God when we believe in Christ. So he says it'll be obvious and evident who are the children of God. He says you can know by their conduct and their action, okay, and then also their love for brothers and sisters in Christ. So those are two things that are really part of the test to help you discern whether a person is really a child of God or not. When I say really a child of God, it's because people think that they are and they're not, or people claim to be and they're not. And the Bible makes this really clear that there are people that are not really born again. I mean, it's some of the hardest verses in the Bible when Jesus says, depart from me, I never really knew you. And just because somebody goes to church or something like that doesn't mean that they're born again. You're either really supernaturally born again, God's Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, or that hasn't happened. And next week we're going to talk about assurance as to whether or not that's really happened, that you're really born again or not. But this week we're looking at, you know, distinguishing that in someone else. He says you can. You know, so when I think about this and I look at it, he says, you know, you're going to look at their life and see, you know, what their conduct bears. Does it bear fruit? Does it bear fruit of the Holy Spirit? Can you see God's Holy Spirit living in them by their conduct and by what comes out and by what their attitudes are or not? And if you can't, then that shouldn't be a person that you listen to, because I think that's what's going on here. You know, these people said, hey, we'll be your teachers. You know, we know things. We know things more than John or those other guys know, and we'll teach you what's right and how to follow God. But all the time that they're saying this, and they're even claiming to be sinless, they, if you look at their actions didn't show that they were sinless. Their actions were sinful. Now, one of the reasons why this may have been really easy to distinguish in them is because people who were probably going towards Gnosticism, and Gnosticism believes that what you do in your body doesn't really matter. It's not really sin because this is just flesh. You can kind of do whatever in this body and it doesn't matter. And so if they were teaching that, and people did teach that and started teaching that about this time, then John is saying, you know, look, what you do in your body does matter. Okay, if you sin in your body and you don't conduct yourself in such a way that honors God and reflects God, you know, then you're not born again. And he says that, and the other example that I think just another act of that is like a specific clear example is that you will love your brothers and sisters in Christ. So you will love your fellow Christians. And he says, when you look at these people, they don't love the church. They don't love Christians. And so that's a second big part of this test, you know, that, you know, it's evident, it's obvious that somebody's in Christ or not. Okay, skipping ahead a couple of verses, he says, don't be surprised, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. And I think that this is a great verse for discernment. Like, a lot of people are like, I don't know why the world hates me, why everyone hates me. Well, sometimes people hate you because you're just mean and you've done something wrong, and they hate you probably for cause or reason that might even be right. Now, that's not what we're talking about here, okay? You don't get to apply this, you know, if you've been a jerk and then you're like, everyone hates me, but they hate you because you've been a jerk, you've been really mean, you've really hurt people. But I'm talking about if they hate you because you love Jesus and you follow Jesus. He says, don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised that the world hates you. So sometimes we need to be able to discern, you know, why is it that people think a certain way about us? You know, why is it that people think, oh man, Heath is no fun, because he wants to do what's right and follow God? You know, sometimes people may have that opinion, or they might think, you know, why is he so narrow-minded? Or they may even say that, you know, I'm judgmental, or we're judgmental, or something like that. Well, we need not be surprised that people look at things differently if they don't love God. Amen? We don't need to be surprised by that. They hated Jesus. Look what they did to him. And so this is a discernment. So sometimes you got to discern, you know, why is it that people think what they think about me? And should I cave to their pressure, or should I stand firm in the word and follow God and be devoted to him? And I don't know about you, but I don't really think it should matter who that person is. We should be committed to following God. So whoever it is out there, if they are trying to lead and direct us in a way that is not honoring to God, and they are name-calling us, and they are shaming us, and they are speaking out against us and harassing us and persecuting us, hey, we can just count it a blessing and not be surprised by it, and just keep following Jesus. Be completely committed to that. Now, going on to chapter 4, verse 8, he says, anyone that does not love does not know God, because God is love. Again, he's repeating this. You know, you can tell whether a person knows God or not by their love, specifically their love for the church, but I think just in general, their love in general, you see that. You can tell whether or not a person loves God. Now, a person may be that doesn't know God may appear to be very loving. I don't want us to get that wrong. I mean, like, some of the most loving people, what we would kind of consider loving people, they're very nice, they're very kind, but they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. Somebody can be like that. We're all made in the image of God, and somebody can be like that, but there's a part of that love that they would deny. That would be the eternal part, and the pointing to God and sharing God and doing it because of God and for God, not for some other reason. And so anyone who does not love in that way does not know God, because God is love. And again, it could also be someone that claims, they may be saying all the right things, but there's kind of a real breakdown in that person. That's like, it's all about them. They really don't love brothers and sisters in Christ, and they would gladly sell one out, or stab them in the back, or something like that. So anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Going ahead to verse 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So again, it's like, does the person love his brothers and sisters in Christ? It's one thing to say that you love God, but if you really love God, then you will love his children also. And I don't really have this in here, but in these verses, they say that you also have some obedience to you. When you love God, you can't just say you love God and not obey. Obeying God is loving God, and it is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. So the discernment here, again, he's writing this to discern whether or not somebody's a liar or not. So those are the verses that I'm going to share for today. I think there actually are other verses in 1 John that also have to do with this idea of discernment. So I hope that going over these verses has been really helpful. I have a few more things to go over, I think, that will be helpful for you. First of all, this would kind of be like my idea of, you know, what this test and these tests look like. You know, when we test the spirits or we are discerning something, we are discerning, trying to make a decision, trying to make the right judgment about a person or a situation. I think we can apply these tests here, these questions. So let's start with this. Do they honor God? Does this group or these people or this person or this teaching, whatever, you know, when you look at it, but you can say, does it honor God or do they honor God? That's a good first question to ask. So whether or not that they're nice or they're entertaining or they're influential, is what they're saying really honoring God? But we're going to go deeper than that. We are going to go past that. And this is, that's kind of the overall summary. And you could get that right or you could get that wrong, but let's talk about some more specifics. Do they confess the truth about Jesus? So we talked about some truths. We talked about his deity. We talked about his humanity. We talked about his sinless life. We talked about his death on the cross. We talked about his resurrection, coming back from the dead, raised again. We talked about, you know, I might have mentioned or I might not have mentioned, you know, his ascension, his going to heaven, his preparing a place for us, his second coming. So the question is, does a person and what they stand for and who they are, do they confess the truth about Jesus or do they deny these things? Hey, do you believe the virgin birth? Do you confess that or do you deny that? That's a really good test to look at something. So what a person thinks about Jesus and believes about Jesus is gonna tell you so much about a person and a group and a teaching and those things. So number three would be, do they submit to and follow Scripture? That's a really good test right there. You know, someone can say, yeah, I love Jesus, I follow Jesus, and they might even kind of get some of these things right. You know, they might have most all of them right. They could have all of them right, what they say. But when you look at them, do they really submit to and follow Scripture? John said, listen. They listen to us. They listen. I'd say they listen to Scripture. See, I said what a person believes about Jesus is going to tell you so much about him. But you know what? What a person believes about Scripture and what they believe about the Word of God is also going to tell you so much. It's one of the most important things about any person or any teaching or any group. What is it that they believe about the Word of God? Do they believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Do they believe that this is the authority for our lives and we follow the Word of God? Or do they believe that they're above Scripture and what Scripture says? And they might not say that, but you look at their actions. So when you're discerning whether or not a person is from God or not, you're discerning by their actions whether or not that they really submit to Scripture and follow Scripture or not. If they don't, then that's something that you do not want to follow or you do not want to be influenced by that person. All right, number four is, do they reflect Jesus in their conduct? So you could have, somebody can be just doctrinally solid and have everything right, but the problem is then their conduct doesn't show it. They're hateful, they're mean, they're selfish, they're sinning grievously in some ways. And so you look at them and say, it's not enough to have this knowledge that is in your head, that comes out of your mouth, that you have all this understanding, but to not really be showing it. You know, I think that when I think about myself, rather than like mastering all of theology and having everything understood and being able to present it in a really clear way, I would rather be continuing to work on that and learn that and strive for that, but to have it reflected in my life and for me to be really living it. I don't want to be living in any error or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I want to be living the truth, but I want to be living it out. I want my conduct to reflect it. I want people to be able to see Jesus in me, to see the Holy Spirit, to see his fruit. I want to bear fruit. You know, if you picture us like a tree, you know, having knowledge of everything and getting it all right doesn't mean that any fruit is actually growing there. And then the big example of that is love for the brothers. So when you putting this test up, hey, does this person love the brothers? Do they love people who are Christians? And you could think about like this, like a lot of those examples, like you can actually see, do they want to be around Christians? do they respect them? Do they understand that, you know, we want to do the right thing, that we want to please God, or do they belittle that and put people down that want to do the right thing? Do they make fun of them? You know, a lot of people make fun of Christians in the church. You look at Hollywood, like what Hollywood's like, how it presents Christianity in a bad way. It's like the butt of jokes or something like that. And when you have somebody that acts in that way, and then that's not love for the brothers. And so that's not somebody that you really want to be influenced by and follow. And I guess that's an example. Many times, like, we're just far too influenced by something like Hollywood or celebrities. You know, think about it. Who should we be influenced by? Somebody who's famous for being an actor, or should we be influenced by the Word of God? We need to be influenced by the Word of God. A sixth thing here is, and I think this is like number four, very much like number four, but, you know, I guess maybe state it another way. Do they bear fruit? And fruit is specific in the Bible. When you think in Galatians chapter 5, you can see it. You know, do they have joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Did I forget any? Maybe I did. But when we look at the fruit that's in Galatians, it's talked about, is their life really bearing that out? So that's a question that we need to ask. So we can use these things as a test to look at somebody and to discern. It's not to, again, it's not to write them off, but it's to make decisions about our involvement with them, about their influence over us and our lives. And this could be very, very, very beneficial for us. Now, I want to close with this, because I think it's said also in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where Paul writes this time, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You see, Jesus died, but God wants us to live. And he wants us to live, though, as a sacrifice. So we are living sacrifice. We put aside ourselves. We put aside things that are sinful, and we want to do what is holy and acceptable to God. And when we do this, this is how we worship Him. It's our spiritual worship to Him. We do it through how we live our lives, and we want to change. We want to be more like Jesus, and we want to grow. He says, this is our spiritual worship. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be growing in him. He wants us to not be conforming to the world. He wants us to be transformed. So again, that's changing. He wants our minds to be renewed. That word, by the way, that word transformed is a metamorphosis. So to go from being one thing to being something completely different, to being a child of the devil, to being a child of God, child of the living God. And he wants our minds to be renewed, and our minds are renewed by the Word of God. And really, they need to be renewed daily and moment by moment. You know, we need to be renewed by God's Word. And that when that's happening in our life, he says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. So there are so many times we need to make a decision. Is this what God wants for me? Is this the direction that God wants me to take? Remember all those questions that we asked? That he shows us how to make those decisions. He teaches us how to discern right from wrong, good from bad, to discern God, the Spirit of God, from the spirit of error. And again, the way he says it here is, what is good and acceptable and perfect? And I pray that you will do that. I really do. And I really hope that this has been helpful for all of us. And I pray that we would just go and live this. So I'd ask you to just join me right now. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for discernment that you give through your Spirit. And that's part of being indwelt by you and your Spirit, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to make the right call about things in our lives, Lord, and that we would not be taken captive and taken the wrong direction. But I pray that it is more than just the ability, but that we actually do this, that we exercise discernment in our lives, and that we live this life for you, Lord. So teach us what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, And may we just submit to your will for our lives. We thank you so much. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you again for being here with us. And I really do look forward to when we will see each other face to face. But until then, no, I'm always a phone call away. I do all kinds of appointments if you'd like, Zoom, phone calls, whatever. Just reach out. Don't hesitate to do it. Love you. Look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, God bless.